السلام عليكم. Today is Wednesday, and inshallah, today I'm going to answer your questions. I'm going to start with a question that I got from a brother. And the question is, sometimes I go to the store and I find stuff that I think is haram, and sometimes I buy stuff that I think is halal, but it is haram. How do I know? Normally, every case is different. But the rule of thumb, you don't buy something and you make it haram or halal based on what they call it. I'll give you an example. So for example, if you see hot dog, haram or halal? Like say for example, hot dog from Zabiha Halal, from, you know, a Muslim provider. Some people say based on the name, it's called hot dog and dog is haram, I can't eat it. This is totally different. Also, there's what they call alcohol vinegar. Right? Is this halal or haram? It's halal because they call it alcohol vinegar, but it is not alcohol. Right? This is just a name. Also, if you see something like pepperoni, it's not pork. This is what, like, because it has a different name, does it make it halal? No, it is pork. It doesn't matter what they call it. If they call it Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, it's still pork. You can't eat it. Right? If they have, for example, like riba, usury or interest. Like riba, like you, someone borrows money from you, like $1,000, and you tell them, if you pay the money after 2 months, you're going to pay me $1,500. So you charge them more. They're not calling it riba anymore, they call it interest, which is a different name, right? So it's still haram. Alcohol, if they call it spirits, a different name, it's still haram. So if something is haram regardless of what they call it. If something is halal regardless of what people call it. So this is the answer for the question. Right? If you are not sure about an ingredient, like you are buying something from the store, normally, and this is the Islamic ruling, you shouldn't investigate. But if you are suspicious, you want to know for sure because this will make you comfortable when you eat it. If you don't know the ingredient, like sometimes they put things, they put numbers or they put Latin names, you don't know. The easiest way is to call the store and ask them if this is taken from pork or not, right? This is the easiest way. Allah. We'll take a question. Yes. Yes. Loud. Well, the Prophet says in the hadith that gold is haram for men, right? And the same thing applies to boys, because once they get used to something, it would be difficult to take it away from them. So men should not wear gold. You know? We'll take a brother. Yes. They made a mistake, they gave you pork pepperoni. What happened? Okay, good question. A few years ago, I met a brother. I was in Edmonton, and this brother came to the masjid, and mashallah, I think he was from India or Pakistan, and mashallah, they're very strict about zabiha, which is good, no problem. So what happened, after graduation, he was invited to his friend's house, and they had pizza. They knew he was Muslim, no problem. So they got the food and everything, and after he ate, the host mentioned that the pizza had pork in it. That was like a disaster for the brother, right? So he told me, for 2 years he was crying. Every time he remembered, he was crying. Of course, he went home, he threw up and everything. And he came to me and he said, am I kafir? Am I going to Jahannam? And all these things, right? So the answer Islamically, we know that in Islam, if you forget, Allah will forgive you. If you made a mistake, Allah will forgive you. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith. Say for example, you came from work, and you were very tired, or you moved to a new house, and you either didn't know where the Qibla was, or you just forgot, right? So for example, the Qibla is this way, you pray this way. Or, first day of Ramadan, you forgot it is Ramadan, you were tired, you came late, or you came like from work before Maghrib, and you ate. What is the problem? You made a mistake, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. So in this case, or the other case of the brother, all you need to do is just say, Ya Allah, forgive me, and khalas. It is not the end of the world. Somebody made a mistake, or you forgot, khalas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Sister? Like in first rak'ah, second rak'ah?
Yeah.
Technically you shouldn't, because there are many surahs, but there is an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. He prayed Fajr, and he recited إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَلَهَا in the first rak'ah, and he recited the same surah, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَلَهَا in the second rak'ah. Just to show us it is permissible, but you shouldn't do it all the time, right? So it is better to recite a different surah, unless this is the only surah you know. Like sometimes some people accept Islam and the only surahs they know Fatiha, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and that's it, right? So this is the best they know. But if you know other surahs, Wadduha, Wal-Adiyati, you should use the other surahs. Unless you forget, you recite the same surah again, I think it's permissible based on the hadith that I mentioned. Take a brother, Sulaiman.
First
you're
Christian and then you just accepted Islam. Can you make wudu or no?
Okay, it's a good question. I know a lot of people who accepted Islam. They took Shahada. And some of them have tattoos all over the place, right? So there are two ways. If you ask them to remove it, and this is something I prefer if it is visible, like on their face, on the palms of the hand, they should try to remove it. But if it is very expensive, or if it is very painful, because sometimes, you know, they have to scratch it, and I don't know the techniques, but from what I heard, it's painful and it's expensive. But if it is affordable, if it is not painful, you should take it off. But if it is hidden, say for example, some people have tattoos on their chest, or on their back, or on their thigh, it is normally covered, then don't worry about it. Just when you make wudu, you just wash the body as you normally do and cover it, wear a shirt or pants, long pants or sleeves, and just make salah and forget about it. The thing is, when someone accepts Islam, we know that tattoos, the permanent ones, not when you go for Eid and they have the face paint or the henna tattoo, these are acceptable Islamically. But I'm talking about the permanent ones. So if you have them and they are covered, we know that what happens before Islam is forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive someone everything they did before Islam. So in this case, they don't have to worry too much about it. Allahu a'lam. Another question, we'll take this sister here. Yes. After you dry up, you do what?
You do the full wudu except for your feet, and then you dry up, and then you do. Is it still one?
I think it's because it's a short pause or break in the middle. It's not a big deal. What I would do personally, I would rather wash everything, including my feet. Maybe I'll put a towel, you know, then wash my feet, then stand on the towel, then dry everything up, and do the same for my feet. But if you do it this way, it's still acceptable. We'll take Mickey.
Sir, I have a question about like the Ashura. My mom told me some people on that day till 10 days, some people hid their spells. What's the story?
Okay, this is an excellent question. We know that the reason why we fast on the day of Ashura, we mentioned this last time, was because the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba wanted to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving Musa alayhi salam and his people from the people of Egypt and from Pharaoh. We also know that historically, Imam al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, became shaheed on that day. And of course, we believe this was a crime. He shouldn't have been killed. He should have been respected as a Muslim, number one. And number two, he's from the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And we as Muslims, we believe that the family of the Prophet ﷺ is honorable and noble, and they should be respected and loved. And this is what the scholars say, that after the Prophet ﷺ, the family of the Prophet ﷺ are the finest, they are the best. And after them, the people of Badr, and after them, the people of who pledged allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ under the tree, and also the 10 Sahaba who got the news of Jannah. So with that being said, this shouldn't have happened, and he should have been respected, and so on and so forth. And we believe that he was more qualified for Khilafah than Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And we believe that Ali radiallahu anhu was more qualified for Khilafah than Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. But again, this is a political thing. It happened. And when people ask me to say a bad thing about Muawiyah or about the other Sahaba and the conflict they had, and I tell them I can't, because تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون. Which means basically that this is an ummah that lived and died 14 or 1500 years ago, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their judge, not me. They are the finest, they are the best, I can't go up to their level. I'm down there and they're up there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them and He will judge me. So the fact that some people, especially within Shia Islam, in Iran, in Iraq, in other places, and also there's a tiny minority in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, they feel like their ancestors, their great-great-grandparents, should have supported Imam Hussein, and therefore they feel very remorseful and regretful and sad, and they start to beat themselves up. Well, they shouldn't do this, because we know that in Islam, no one is accountable for the sin of another. If this is okay, like if someone's parents or great-great-grandparents who lived 10 or 1,000 years ago or 1,400 years ago should punish themselves for something their great-great-grandparents did, then, by way of analogy, qiyas, the children of the Sahaba who left the Prophet ﷺ in the Battle of Uhud and the archers who were on the mountain, you know the story.
Yeah.
So the Prophet ﷺ told them, don't leave. They left. They didn't listen to the orders of the Prophet ﷺ. They left their places. And why Muslims were defeated in the Battle of Uhud? It's because of them. And why Hamza radiallahu anhu was killed and many Sahaba were killed? Because of what they did. And why the Prophet ﷺ was injured? Because of what they did. What about their children? These people who, or the archers who left their place. Did they punish themselves? Did they injure themselves or, you know, kill each other and so on and so forth? Did they bleed in the streets? The answer is no, because their fathers who left their places, when they made tawbah, they said, Ya Allah, forgive us. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He forgave them. Khalas, finished, right? So their children are not accountable for what they did. And the same thing applies to Imam Hussein and the descendants of the people who let him down at that time. So, in summary, people shouldn't do this. They shouldn't punish themselves for something they didn't do. In Islam, everyone is accountable for themselves and not for something that happened a long time ago. We love all the Sahaba, we respect them. Whatever happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their judge. And as the ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected our hands from the fight, so you should also protect your tongues from the fight. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the Surat al-Mustaqim. Man, this is a long answer for the question, but it's a good question. Okay, I'll pick you. What do you want? What do you want? Can you sneeze? Okay, so if you are in the washroom and you're not supposed to talk, so if you happen to sneeze, you can say Alhamdulillah in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. We will take two more questions. We'll take this sister here. Yes. I can hear. Loud. I didn't get the question. Then well, if someone is taking a shower and someone is asking them for something or to open the door and they use the towel to cover themselves up, this is acceptable. As long as they cover their awra, their body, basically. We'll take one last question. We'll take this guy. It's okay. Don't do what? Okay. Okay. So, this is the last question. So, the question is, the Prophet told us, when you make wudu, don't dry up. Technically, he didn't tell us to not dry up after we make wudu, but there are some hadith that suggest that the Prophet ﷺ, when he made wudu, he didn't dry up. So this is his way of doing it. But can you dry up after you make wudu? Absolutely, especially in the winter time when it's cold, or someone is using cold water, you can dry up. So again, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ did it, you can do it, but there is nothing wrong if you dry up, because sometimes if you have ceramics and you walk without drying up your feet, you'll be leaving water everywhere, and it's easy for people to slip and fall down and break their neck, right? So it's better to dry up. But if you don't, it's okay. We'll see you next week, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and your family.